Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to our show. We want to thank you for joining us tonight. This is Love Walk International Ministries Incorporated. I'm Lady Carolyn.
And I'm Elder-elect Clayton Evans.
And we want to thank you again for joining us. And tonight we're going to be talking about love is not easily offended. But before we get started, we would like to have some prayer to bring God into this.
Amen. Spirit of the true and living God, we come before your throne giving thanks this evening, dear Heavenly Father, for this season, Father God, of our risen King, Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. We celebrate the risen Savior today because he lives, so do we. So we just thank you, Father God.
Thank you, God.
And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grand sacrifice for us. We ask now that your spirit dwell in us and among us as we seek your scriptures so that we will know how to continue to walk in love and operate in love, Father God, according to your word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. For your sake we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. So we will get started. What we're going to do is we're going to come out of Malachi, 2nd chapter, 13 through 15 verse. We're coming out of the Message Bible. And we're talking about love not being easily offended. And it says, and here's a second offense. You fill the place of worship with your whining and sniveling because you don't get what you want from God. Do you know why? Simple. Because God was there as a witness when you spoke your marriage vows to your young bride. And now you've broken those vows, broken the faith bond with your vowed companion, your covenant wife. God, not you, made marriage. His spirit inhabits even the smallest details of marriage. And what does he want from marriage? Children of God, that's what. So guard the spirit of marriage within you. Don't cheat on your spouse. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The word of God.
For the people of God.
Amen. Amen.
Wow, that's powerful.
Very.
And it's something that needs to be paid attention to. Our last broadcast, we had mentioned how marriages are in trouble.
Amen.
And the bond of marriage is a covenant. It's not an agreement. It's not a contract. It is a covenant, a blood covenant. And to know how to operate in love and not be offended by not just the everyday dealing with one another, but even so more the trust issues, that the being faithful in the marriage, honoring the vows that were taken in marriage, knowing that it's holy in the sight of God. And that's something that we need to protect. We need to make sure that nothing, no man, no woman, no nothing come against that. That covenant. So that second offense is one that I think we need to really examine and kind of go in depth about, because we did take those vows before God and men, but the first is God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's right. And when we think about it, you know, they talk about don't cheat on your spouse. You know, I know one of the things that we used to talk about early in our relationship is staying away from appearances of evil. You know, a lot of times if it looks like you're doing something, even though you try to say that that's not what you're doing, if it looks that way, you know, that's offense, you know, because the Bible talks about us not drawing each other to wrath. You know, if we're doing things that we know the other person is feeling offended about, we need to pay attention to that as being an offense, because it's best for us to stop that instead of perpetuate that. Because if you want me to trust you, then you have to make me feel like you're trustworthy, you know. And we used to talk about that a lot. And it's real important, you know. I teach women all the time to get the understanding that as women, we want security, you know, but men want appreciation, you know. And a lot of times, you know, that we can't get that security that we're looking for because we don't know how to show that appreciation. And both of those things are offensive to each other, you know, because if I'm not getting what I want, then you're not getting what you want. And guess what? Neither one of us can give the other what they want, you know. So when we look at things like, you know, I tell you a lot about, you know, being careful of Jezebel's spirit, because it doesn't matter what it is that you're doing, you know. If you're unaware of the kind of spirits that you put out to other women, because you got a lot of women that have no respect for marriage whatsoever. You have a lot of men that don't have respect for marriage. It's up to us to respect our own marriage.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And if we don't put out those kind of vibes, you know, we leave those doors open where a person feels comfortable to come to you with some nonsense and keep coming to you with some nonsense, then that's something that we have to look at personally. What is it inside of me that's giving off those kind of vibes?
Right.
Then make a person feel comfortable, you know, to feel all up against me or spend time with me or want to have a secret with me, you know, what's going on, because in actuality, those are the kind of offenses that we can call cheating on your spouse, because those are the things that you wouldn't do if your spouse was there.
Right. That's powerful right there. And that would set a lot of people free, too, because a lot of times we compromise ourselves when we allow those little things to creep into the scenario in the workplace or wherever,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? But to have those vows to guard our heart
right.
and our mind
mm-hmm.
and wear that ring with pride and mm-hmm. let people know that I represent, you know, my name. And my name is written on flesh at home
mm-hmm.
and to the woman that I stood before God. And made an oath and a covenant with
mm-hmm.
that I will do all the things that I profess with my mouth before God and man to her, you know. So those are covenant words, you know. It's not some fancy speech, you know,
right.
to make you look smooth in right. front of all your partners
while
and whatnot.
While
you dressed up and stuff. This is something that is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and what God has put together, the scripture said, let no man put
asunder.
So, and it's honorable in God's sight. So it is to be protected, you know, with your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because God said, you know, the man should love his wife, you know, with his whole heart, with his life. He should be willing to die for her,
right.
you know, like Christ did for the church. So
mm-hmm.
It don't get no serious than that.
It really
doesn't. So, need to be careful about how we conduct our everyday lives in reference to our marriage and the marriage vows that we have spoken before God, and know that it's something that binds us to death, you know, to our last dying breath. I mean, if you know, it's something that we don't really want to think about, you know, but if I'm with you, and when that day comes, if my last words could be, I love you, to come out my mouth, then I pray that I'll be able to do that.
Amen.
You know, to take those, that passion and that love and that desire even to the grave with me,
Amen.
Knowing that God has put us together and knowing what he has done in our lives, you know, it's just so awesome.
Yes, it is.
You know, so we give praise to God for that beautiful institution of marriage, that we pray that, you know, as we continue this love walk, that we can share and inspire people to know how serious this is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Stop playing the games, the head games, the mind games, the manipulative games that people do in marriage relationships, and get serious about life.
That's right.
And not only the lives of those that are involved in that covenant, but the lives that are being brought into that covenant, you know, because that part at the end where it says the children of God, you're bringing children into that marriage.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so mm-hmm. you want to make sure that they understand, too, that they are part of that covenant.
Because mm-hmm. children do suffer a lot, you know, because, you know, kids get to see so many things in a messed up marriage that they should not be privy to, you know, and those are the type of things children don't forget it. You know, I came from that kind of dysfunction, you know, and it kind of distorts your belief in what marriage is,
yeah.
You know, because when you see
don't even want to get married.
Yeah, they don't, because they see these relationships where, you know, people are fighting, you know, people are arguing, people separate, people cheating, you know, people manipulating, people doing everything and anything that's against what God said about this covenant. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with God, the things that they're doing, you know. And when we see those things as children,
yeah,
those are the things that we remember when we equate it with a marriage, you know.
Deep scars,
you know, social imprints, you know. And when we look at these things, and we got to understand that, I remember when Get Better for Us in the Home, you know, it changed for us. Because we had each other, you know, we kind of fed off of trying to, you know, make things better between us. But then there was still a child here that didn't have anybody to feed that off of, you know. And we had to make sure that we kept some consistency where he could see, you know, because children also do things like try to split. You know, they come in between, you know. You know, either come to mommy or come to daddy, you know, trying to get two different answers, you know. Exactly,
yeah.
You know. And depending on how the relationship is, we'll feed into that.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm upset with you, of course I don't want him to do what you want him to do, you know. Or you know, if you upset with me, you don't want to do anything that you want to do, you know, because you equate him with me, you know. And when we have those kind of issues inside the home, you know, that's why a lot of families, especially when you're looking at step families, because we got to take the step out of family.
Yeah.
We have got
it's
to take that word
family.
Out of it.
It's blended.
Yes,
it's
and
blended.
It's family.
It's two people coming together to make a family, to make a house, to make a home,
mm-hmm.
You know, to make a cohesive unit that functions as a family.
As a family with
nobody
stepping
on nobody.
Exactly. I know, that's right. It's a good word, you know, and learning how to be able to help those children make that transition. You know, when things get better, help the children to get better too. You know, but like I said, take that consistency to let them know that this is better now. You know, mom and dad is now mom and dad. We're officially in the position in our right roles and our right minds. Do right not only by each other but by you,
yeah.
Son, daughter. You know, whoever's there, you know. And it is about making sure that not just that this is a child of God, but we children of God too.
Love
and we got, we got to represent. We got
you know,
to represent.
Royal priesthood.
Amen.
You know, and being sons and daughters of God, it holds a responsibility.
We're accountable.
You know, we are accountable
mm-hmm.
for what we say and what we do and how we treat one another. So, in that light, we continue to study the word and feed off of what God has given us to strengthen us spiritually. So we can, even in those moments when we are weak, he is strong.
Mm-hmm.
So he can help us to continue to be that tight-knit family. I was hearing today how, you know, when God wanted sons and daughters, he planted a seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he planted Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know, and now here we are, you know.
Amen.
The body of Christ, the anointed. We are the anointed of God.
Amen.
And we need to start operating in that anointing. And I believe that, you know, the closer that we come to Jesus' return, that, you know, those things that he spoke of in the word about being the signs and wonders, you know, us doing greater works in his name,
mm-hmm.
it's about to come to pass, you
Amen.
Know, because, you know, the closer it gets, you know, the church as a whole has to be ready as the bride of Christ, you know. So it's a preparation time, and I believe that time is here now, you know. So, and it starts with the family,
mm-hmm.
you know. It starts with us. So by us honoring one another, loving one another, respecting one another, we exemplify what the church is supposed to be. You know, but it got to start at home.
That's right.
Charity starts at home. Amen.
And it is real important that we always remember that, because it doesn't matter how much good we do out there. So if you got to come back home and the house is jacked up, or it's a place that you hate to come to, you still not able to operate in that full anointing that you have on your life because you cannot do the charity that begins at your house.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I think we was talking about this a little bit last week when I was telling you about how, you know, it's amazing if you want to know anything about somebody, talk to the people that they live with.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the people that see them without the makeup, without the weed, you know, without the fake. This and the fake that, you know, but see them for who they really are without the pulpit, you know, without
the, wake up in the morning.
Yeah, you know, without the Bible in their hand, now who are you?
Trust in the eyes and the bad breath, and the
okay.
hair matted all over the ears.
Yeah.
They can't wake up in the morning.
Mm-hmm, the bad attitude,
mm-hmm.
you know, the selfishness, you know, the way that a person is in their home says
yeah.
a lot about who that person really, really is. You know, you got so many people that can help anybody. You know, I used to feel real bad when William was going through so much. Our son was going through so many things, and it was so many other people that I was able to help, but I couldn't help my own child, you know. And I remember when God gave me the revelation when he told me to just let him, give him to him. Give him to him completely, you know. Because there's going to be times that there's going to be people that are closest to us that we just ain't nothing we can do. Nothing that we can do. We do not have the human power to do anything about it. And a lot of times it's because of some of the stuff that we have already messed up.
Yeah, that's
trying
what
to
was,
put our hand in.
That's what I was saying.
You know?
When you made that statement,
okay.
that's what came to mind. You know, they done seen the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
They done felt the pain, the rejection. The heartache,
mm-hmm.
you know, probably even felt rejected,
fear.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and the fear of, you know, because when we went through what we went through, it was powerful, it was strong,
yeah.
it was devastating,
mm-hmm.
you know, the things that were said, the
right.
things that were done, how it was done, you know, and it was did so much damage,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I thank God for that healing process that comes with his grace and his mercy
mm-hmm.
and walking in that love that he's given us and receiving that love so that we can share it with one another, you know, and get rid of the bitterness and the hate and animosity that, you know, had so just dwelled with us for so long.
Yeah,
you know,
for years.
And to get out from under that bondage was so, whew, it was like a
breath
of
fresh
air, you know, to come out of that and to be able to really enjoy you as God meant for me to enjoy you, you know, as his creation, you know, as the love of my life, you know, and that is within itself is awesome because it's something that we can share every day.
Exactly.
Every day,
mm-hmm.
you know, watching you grow and continually develop. You know, as an individual, as a wife, as a mother, as an entrepreneur, you know, it's awesome. It's awesome seeing you turn into this beautiful, exciting person that you are,
oh,
you know. And it's a joy to be able to experience that, you know, and from where we came from.
Yeah,
you
know, amen. God
that
be the
is,
glory.
That is an awesome experience, you know,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to share that, you know, and see the reality of it all is just phenomenal to me. So I thank God for that. I thank God for you, you know, because you are my inspiration. You inspire me daily. I'll be in all of some of the things. When you walk in that door, I've told you before, you know, my bishop used to always say, you know, wake up with expectations. In your heart, because you never know what God got planned.
Amen.
You know,
it
so and it is true on a daily basis in this house. You know, God, he does some awesome things
Amen.
In our life on a daily basis. So, you know, we just trust in the Lord, you know, with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, we acknowledge him and let him direct our path.
Amen.
And it's just so promising. The things that God does for us, You know, even with this ministry, I mean, like today, you know, we continue to be blessed and continue to move forward in God, you know. So we're not trying to get away from the topic because the Holy Spirit has a way of just opening you up to all the goodness of God.
Amen.
You know, but we don't want to be offended by those things that, you know, they rub us the wrong way sometimes, you know. But if you're walking in love, things don't have a tendency to bother you as much. I know for me now, in my walk, some things just don't bother me like they used to.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes all it would take was a word.
Mm-hmm.
And I go off. Or look.
Or look.
Go mm-hmm. off, you know.
Me too. I live that way the majority of my life. That's why now, you know, it's such a blessing to me to have peace in my life. And any time that you have not had peace and you get a taste of peace, you want to keep peace for the rest of your life. You know, you want to do anything and everything that you can to be able to maintain it because it's precious.
It's really precious,
you know.
It's like the joy of the Lord.
Yes. And you know, when it talks about, you know, not being easily offended. You know, that word easily.
That's what it was right
there. Yes,
you know. It was so easy to push that button.
Very easy.
You
know. And it's mostly because a lot of times we don't look at those underlying issues that go on in a person's life, you know, understanding why. Why are you so easily offended? Why does everything that everybody else does bother you?
And I might be wrong, correct mm-hmm. me if I'm wrong, but I think it comes from insecurities, you know, within us.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we've been told as a child or as we grow up, you know, thinking that other people are better than us,
mm-hmm.
you know, having an inferior complex toward other people, or thinking not having this makes you less than, or know, things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I learned while I was in the military was to appreciate what I had. You know, we didn't have state of the art, this and that and this and that when I first went in the Army. It was all World War II barracks.
Okay.
But they made you take care of what you had.
Mm-hmm.
They shined the floors. The bathrooms were spotless, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't make a difference of the condition of things, or you know what I'm saying?
We took
what we had and made the best of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that helped me to learn to appreciate things a little bit more than I had in the past, because I figured if I didn't have the latest this or the latest that, you know, I really didn't have nothing,
mm-hmm.
you know, which was not the case, because I still had a place to stay, was clean.
Mm-hmm.
I had food, I had shelter, I had clean clothes. You know, I had what I needed.
Right.
So it wasn't more about my wants. It was about taking care of my needs. So that way I learned to appreciate where I was at, you know, regardless of what was going on. And I think that really helped me with that, you know,
mm-hmm.
in my life. So.
And I think that could help in a lot of marriages, you know, people would stop looking at what somebody else has, mm-hmm. you know, or what they think somebody else has, you know, because a lot of times it's those appearances of what people have, you know. It's just like when they say the grass is green on the other side, but you still got to mow that grass too.
You, water,
you know, you got to maintain it. You know, that grass don't miraculously appear that way. You know, there's some work that's being done over there, and even if you're not willing to do the work on the little yard that you have, what you going to do with that green grass over there? Because if you take over there with the same lack of maintenance that you have in your life, that grass over there is going to look just like the grass you got over
it's gonna
here.
Die.
It's going to die,
it's
you know.
Yeah,
and we do have to start looking at being grateful, you know, for the people that we do have in our lives. I am grateful for you. You know, I'm grateful that God has given me the ability to do as the word says, you know, to honor and respect you. You know, and I'm grateful that he's put in you the stuff that was needed for me to honor and respect you, you know, because that is very important for us as women, that we have those kind of men, you know, in our lives, a man that has a vision, you know, a man that has that love of God, You know, like you always say, you know, until you love him, you can't love me, you know. And a man that loves God is not going to be a man that cheats.
That's right.
He's going to follow his vows, you know. He's going to stand fast and stand steadfast to his vows, you know, and honor them, you know, because he knows that it's that covenant with God, you know. And the same thing with a woman. You know, the way I feel, you know, I'm not looking to trying to burn in hell because some guy, you know, thought that he could talk sweet to me, you know, or I thought that maybe I can talk sweet to him. I'm not willing to burn in hell, you know, not for a one night stand, not for a 2 year trial, you know. But we do have to, you know, get to the point in our lives where we understand that in order to stand on our vows, we need to know what our vows said, you know, because it's easy to stand up there and say them, but to know exactly what they mean, that's the only way we're going to be able to operate in them, you know. And those vows, they had a magnitude of information in them, you know.
And a lot of weight.
Yeah, and I'm talking about for richer or for poorer. You know how many people have left their people because they got poorer?
Or they got poor or got sick.
Or got sick, you know.
And the sickness is the thing, too, you know. I mean, looking at that, both of them, you know, rich or poor, sickness and health. But, you know, sickness has a toll.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have shared with me about people you know that was caring for people with cancer or may have Alzheimer's, you know, that really take a lot of time and patience and caregiving,
right.
You know, and that's a big burden because that takes from your livelihood because you got to be there for that individual. So how deep is your love?
Exactly.
How much do you really love that individual that you claim that you love, you know? Now you offended because you got to take care of this person and you can't go
and do
the things
that
you want to do because your life is just consumed with this individual, you know. So that's really the test of how we really love one another, you know. So, wow.
Yes. Part of that long suffering
that's
we was talking about.
That long suffering. But it really don't have to be that way if you really love that person.
But that's what love is.
Yeah.
You know, God didn't say that love wasn't going to happen from suffering and that we weren't going to be comfortable with it.
Yeah.
You know, that's why he was telling us that this is what love is. Love is long suffering. That means that you're going to go through some things, but you're going to have to operate in love while you're going through it because that's what love is.
It means
I got to be there with you regardless because of.
Scripture says once a man, twice a child.
Yeah.
If you are able and blessed to live long enough, you will see childhood again.
Mm-hmm.
They got big comfort.
Yes, exactly.
You know.
Mm-hmm. That's
wow,
right.
This has been awesome.
It has been.
I enjoyed it this evening.
I just thank
God for the privilege and the opportunity to be able to share like this because we grow.
Amen.
As we discuss things of the matters of the heart, the things that really concern our lives, you know, in God and in Christ Jesus. So I just thank you for being able to share this with you.
Thank you for definitely being here. So you want to pray us out?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Dear the true and living God, we once again thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be used in your service, Father God. We ask that these words that have went into the airways has blessed someone, Father God, and will help them on their love walk and their journey, Father God, in this thing called life. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And we hope that you'll join us again, and we just hope that you know that no matter what the problem is, no matter what the situation or circumstance,
the lesson is always love. Amen.